son should, or the guy said, sure, I can do that. And so she got in the checkout line, and he was right behind her. And then when he got to the checkout line, and they totaled those groceries, and it came out to be $145.50. And he only had it. He said, that's crazy. I only have a few items. He had told his mother goodbye, and mother had said, bye, son. He said, I only had a few items. He said, well, your son said you were going to pay for her groceries. That's a joke. That's a joke. I don't do good jokes. Grandy does a whole lot better telling jokes than I do. At least I could get a sympathy laugh. Yeah. Well, today is Mother's Day. And we're going to be taking our text from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and sharing about how to build a faithful home. How to build a faithful home. Now, there's probably nothing in this world a godly mother wants more than to have a faithful, God-fearing, God-honoring home. I believe every mom in here, if they could choose anything in the world, that's the one thing they would choose. It's a God-honoring, faithful home. You can put all the material possessions aside, you can put all the finances aside, and above everything else, they would want a God-honoring, faithful home. Well, today, we're going to study or look at these passages of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and discover three essentials to building a faithful home. Okay? Three essentials to building a faithful home. Look at Hebrews 3, 1 through 6. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Before we do that, because it'll be on my mind if I don't stop now, in your bulletin is a communication card. And if you don't have a bulletin, you need to get one. Fill out that communication card for me because it's very important to me, particularly if you have prayer concerns. Let me know those. Let me know where you are in your walk with the Lord. There's going to be some questions on the back of your communication card that's going to ask you some things about your home and where you want your home to be. And not only your physical home, but also your personal home. So we'll be talking about that as we go. Now, I'm ready to move on to the text. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope, firm to the end. Brother Jack, would you pray for me as I begin this? Maybe seated. So we're talking about Moses and him building a house. We're talking about Jesus and him building a house. So Moses was responsible for building the house of Israel, basically. With the help of the Lord, he was able to build the house of Israel. He brought the Lord, brought the Israelites, his commands, the Lord's commands. And the Israelites, as they followed the Lord, their house was built as a faithful nation. However, if you know the history of Israel, many times there were families who chose not to follow the Lord. And because of that, there was a demise to their family. So Moses was faithful in building his house of Israel. Jesus is faithful in building our home. Did you know that Jesus is a wonderful homemaker? He was responsible for building the first home with Adam and Eve. Scripture says that he's building us a home in heaven for all of those who trust Jesus as their Savior. You have a home in heaven set apart for you. Jesus said, it told his disciples, when I'm finished with your home, I'm going to come back and get you so that you can be with me and I with you. So he's a wonderful homemaker. Matter of fact, he's building the home here at this church. Many of you come into this congregation, and I've heard this from many people. When I step through the doors, I feel like I'm home. I feel like I'm home. I finally feel like I've found a family. And many of you have heard the same thing. Many of you have spoken that to me. God is building this place. He's building this home. And it's a wonderful place to be because God is building it. As a matter of fact, turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 127, verse 1. Actually, it'll be on the overhead. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Nobody builds a home to watch it crumble. I remember some years ago they were having a domino stacking event in Europe. They were making these, you know, when you were kids, you were putting dominoes. Well, they had over 1 million dominoes lined up to, and just a day or so before the event, and they had spent weeks, well, at least a week, putting these dominoes up. And there was this little bird who came in, dove down, hit one of the dominoes, and the whole thing went. People were trying to stop the dominoes. Had to recreate it. So one guy says, I've got to get rid of this bird. So he brings his gun in. I don't know what kind of gun. I don't remember if it's a pellet gun or what. He takes that gun and he takes dead aim and he shoots that bird. It happened to be on the endangered species list. And he got in lots of trouble. Killing a bird. Sometimes we try to build our homes. We're trying to build it faithfully, but there's something that creeps in and just slams it, and it's like all of the dominoes have fallen over and you've got to rebuild. Isn't that the case? Scripture says, listen, if you want your building, if you want your home to last, the Lord has to be first and foremost in your home. A lot of people, as I said earlier, no one builds a home to destroy. You look at Hawaii and what's going on there with the volcano and with the eruption and all the houses that are being burnt. Nobody built their home in a path saying, oh, I hope that lava flows down toward my house. Or in California, this past spring, where mud Nobody says, oh, I want to build my home so it will crumble and crash. But did you know that that's exactly what happens to families, and that's exactly what happens to homes when you don't allow the Lord to be first and foremost in your home? So I'm going to ask you a question. Who's building your home? I think that's a good question. Teenagers and preteens and tweens, one day you're going to build a home. Okay? And you have to, it's a good thing to even now to determine how you want your home to be built. Scripture says, young men and ladies, I guess men, you need to find a marriage partner who believes in the Lord. One who has a heart for the Lord. If you marry a non-Christian, you're marrying one of Satan's children. Okay? They don't belong to the Lord, they belong to Satan. And if you marry one of Satan's children, guess who your father-in-law is? And I tell you, you're going to have some problems. I'll just say that, I could ask every couple in here if you've ever had problems as a Christian couple. You could ask me, and if I didn't lie, I would say yes. Okay? All couples have problems. But you're going to have more problems if one of you are trying to go this way and one of you are trying to go this way. Okay? Some boys fall in love with a dimple and they marry the whole person. Don't fall in love with just a dimple and join yourself to someone who is not agreeing with the Word of God. Okay? So, what are the three essentials of building a faithful home? Three essentials. Number one, pray. Pray. So what is your... I'll give you my definition of prayer. And I think this is a good definition. Prayer is a conversation between you and God. Okay? A conversation between the Almighty God and yourself. It's not a one-sided conversation. How many of you like to get involved in a conversation where the other person's doing all the talking? Is that a conversation? No. And so what we need to do is we need to learn to listen as well as speak. Somebody said the Lord gave you one mouth and two ears so that you can listen twice as much as you speak. So we need to ask the Lord. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to obey the Lord. Here's a prayer that I've been praying for my family. And I've been praying for the church. And I would encourage you, use this prayer for your own family. I believe this is a great prayer to pray for your children, grandchildren, spouse, the church. But it's found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. This is what it says. And matter of fact, why don't we stand right now and we're going to pray this prayer regarding your family. Okay? And where it says you put your family there. So we'd say, we ask God to give my family complete knowledge of His will. Okay? So let's do that together. We ask God to give my family complete knowledge of His will and to give my family spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way they live will always honor and please the Lord, and their lives will produce every good kind and good fruit. All the while, they will grow as they learn to know God better and better. We also pray that my family will be strengthened with all His glorious power so that they will have all the endurance and patience they need. May they be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? So Paul prayed that. You can sit down. Paul prayed that for the church at Colossae. And I thought, man, that's an excellent prayer. What if we prayed that for our families? Here's the thing. If you don't put this essential in your building toolbox, and you don't pray in your, and you're not going to have the family that you desire. And I'll just be normally. I think moms are better prayers than dads most of the time. The reason I say that, because moms are more passionate, more emotional. It's not always the case, generally speaking. Okay? But moms are more passionate and more connected to their children oftentimes than the dads are. Like I said, it's not always the case. But most often, that is the case. And so when you're connected to someone, you can verbalize things that are in a way that really touches the heart of God when you're not connected. Would you agree with that? When you're passionate and connected, there's just something about our prayers. Matter of fact, in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 19. No. James chapter 5, somewhere in there, it says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous person avails much. And I think oftentimes moms become more fervent because of that passion that's within them. Okay? Again, there are dads who have that, but most often it's the mom who have that connection. And I want to encourage you. So dads, here's the deal. Because the wives or the moms are more passionate, and because they have this connection, it may be sometimes they're hearing from the Father better than you are. Okay? Has your wife ever spoken something that you didn't want to hear? Not me. Well, let me take you back. So, do you remember Abraham and Sarah? Sarah spoke something to Abraham he didn't want to hear. Sarah said to Abraham, "Hey, Abraham, you've got a son that's living with us from another lady, and I want you to tell the son and Hagar to leave." Abraham said, "I would rather not." And then God said to Abraham, "Bud, listen to your wife. Listen to your wife. Do you know we can make some horrible mistakes if we don't listen to our wives, men?" Okay? Now, here's the deal. God has given the man the leadership of the home. That means if you mess up, it's on you. Okay? So my encouragement it is to you better listen to your wife. Because she may have a better understanding and be able to hear more clearly than you do. And you can say, I'm the man of the house. I'll do what I'm going to do, and you have to follow me because I'm man of the house. And the wife say, okay. Because responsibility is on the head of the man, and the man has to answer to the Lord for that. And God will say, I told you through your wife. But I didn't want to listen to her. Sometimes, wives, you may have to speak more than once. Okay? You may have to speak more than once. Listen, you need to be in prayer, and you need to be listening, and you need to be sharing what you feel the Lord has shared with you. It's easy to get in a... it's easy for some couples to get in arguments. Okay? Not all... Well, I guess all couples. It's easy to get in arguments. But what if you took that to the Lord in prayer and He shared with you what you should do about that situation? And then you chose to follow Him. Well, isn't that a novel idea? Unless the Lord build the house, you labor in vain who build it. Okay? Number one, pray. Number two, you have to have the Word of God. Did you know that Jesus prayed for His home? Did you know that Moses prayed for his home? He prayed for his home. Matter of fact, God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to raise you up to be the leader of Israel, and I'm going to destroy everybody else. And Moses said, Lord, if you're going to destroy them, destroy me too. He prayed for the children of Israel. He prayed. And Jesus prayed for his house. He prayed, and you, listen, I can't encourage you. If you don't pray for your house, if you don't pray for your home, if you don't pray for your children, you are going to have some problems that is going to take a long time to fix. The second thing, you need to have the Word of God. The Word of God. Did you know that Moses taught the children of Israel the Word? Matter of fact, he received it from God, and then he was able to share that with the Israelites. And when he did, some of them embraced it, and some didn't. Okay? Now, you have a response. Now, it was not Moses' responsibility for the choices the Israelites made. Neither is it your choice as a parent for the... neither is your responsibility as a parent for the choices your children make. But it is your responsibility to teach them the Word. And here's a couple. So, did you know that Proverbs is filled with wisdom? And if you want to make right life choices regarding family, regarding finances, regarding relationships, regarding practically anything you have to make decisions on, it's found in the book of Proverbs. And I would encourage you, if you don't know where to start, just start with Proverbs. Especially if you've got this age kids, maybe not, well, even Jacob's old enough to understand Proverbs. Sorry. One chapter for every day of the month. There's 31 chapters. So you could read that over and over and over and glean something. If you're having problems, I'm not going to ask you how many of you are having problems with finances. But if you are, it may be that you're violating one of the principles found in Proverbs. A lot of wisdom there. Turn, if you would, as we go to 2 Timothy, read through 5. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy. a son in the faith. This is what he says to Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So here's what, did you know, well, Timothy had a dad, but he was Greek. He was not a believer. His mom, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, was responsible for the encouragement of the word in Timothy's life. And when Paul wrote this to Timothy, he was a young man, but he was pastoring a church. And so Paul is writing to him, encouraging him. So before I go any further, how many of you would say that your grandparents had as much or more impact on your life in a spiritual way as did your parents? Okay. Many of you. And so here's the deal. If you're a grandparent, you can impact the lives of your children, your grandchildren, maybe even more so than the parents are doing. Okay? Cynthia tells me often, and we talk about this because it's exciting to me, when she was 5 years old, her grandmother took her to church. And she would sit with her grandmother, and with her grandmother, she could feel the presence of God with her grandmother. And that's really when she first began to understand who God was through that grandparent. You have, just because we're talking about the moms and parents today, grandparents, you have just as much impact or even more than the parents do. When the children are fighting with the parents, they can come to you. And then you can encourage them toward the Lord. But if you don't, get the word, begin implanting that in your heart. How many of you want a house that fails? Let's see your hand. How many of you would like a house to succeed? Amen. None of us want a house to fail. None of us want that. But if you don't put into practice these essentials, the probability is that your house is going to fail. Okay? So, one, prayer. Number two, the word. And number three is, have you guessed it? Love. Number three is love. It's important, parents, that you love one another. Moses loved the home he was building. As a matter of fact, before Moses began to build the home of Israel, as a younger man at 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian beating up on an Israelite. And he thought, this can't happen. And so he went to stop it and killed the Egyptian. I'm not suggesting that. Okay? I'm just showing you that Moses' love, even as a younger man, before he was 80 years old and led them out of Egypt, at 40 years old, he had this compassion and this passion to protect the children of Israel. He loved the children of Israel. And Jesus, he loved his home. He loved his house. And Jesus also loved his house. Of no greater love as this than anyone, that he lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid down his life because of his love for you, for his love for me. Scripture says, and we talked a moment ago about sometimes there are conflicts in marriage. And if you want your marriage to last, you have to be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. So turn to your neighbor and tell them, be quick to forgive. And if you're sitting by your spouse, tell them that. Be quick to forgive. There are sometimes your wife may do something that irritates you. Occasionally. Colossians 3:18 speaks to this. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter towards them. Someone asked me one time, how long does it take for anger to turn into bitterness? I said, 24 hours. Scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you go to bed angry in the morning, you're going to be bitter. Okay? So, before you go to bed at night, if there's been a disagreement, try to work it out. Sometimes that discussion can carry way on into the night and you get more angry and angry and angry. Just agree to disagree. You know what my wife does for me? And I will give you... So, my wife will say this to me. Brad, I need to share something with you. Tell me when you're in a good place to hear it. It works for us. It works for us. Because sometimes, yeah, it works for her. Works for me. Because sometimes I'm not in the best place. Okay? You know, I know you thought, man, I'm all, you know, I've got it all together. But sometimes it's good to get a heads up that I need to talk to you about a heart issue. And I want you to be ready to receive it when I talk to you about it. And it's like, okay. Now I'm curious about what she has to share. And so I get in a good place, and then we're able to discuss it. So, building faithful home. You have to have those three ingredients. You have to. You have to have prayer. You have to have the Word. And you have to have love. Those are essential. If you don't have that, your house is going to crumble and your house is going to fall. Those are essential things. The love is kind of like the cement that holds the other stuff together. Okay? You can have prayer and you can have the Word, but you can be very... cutting with the Word if love isn't a part of that. Okay? So, love is kind of the mortar that holds the other together. If they can't receive it, if what you're speaking is not able to be received in love, then you're not probably speaking in love. Does that make sense? Don't be harsh with your words. Be gentle, kind, be loving. Let the Lord Christ who dwells in you be effective in your words. Years ago, so there's this passage of Scripture that bothered me quite a bit. This passage said that if you can't rule your own house well, then you're not going to be a good leader in the church. And so I thought that scripture verse meant that I had to control everything that went on in my life. Then I read a passage of scripture that says to a husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church. And gave himself for it. And then I thought, well, how does Christ treat me? Does he try to control me? Does he try to control my actions and behaviors? No. He just loves me. He speaks gently to me, his word, and then he lets me make a choice of what I'm going to do. So I came to understand that passage of Scripture, rule your own house well, basically means rule in love. Rule in love. Rule in love. Rule in love. Is it easier for you to hear truth when it's spoken in love or when it feels like daggers are being thrown at you? Of course, it's when we are spoken in love. The last thing I want to say is this. Hebrews chapter 3 again. In verse 6. Would you go back to that first there? Verse 6. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Do you know what? It's hard to build a faithful home if you don't have Christ in your heart. And if you're not allowing him to build that faithful home in you, and you are enduring that, whatever you go through, God is just present and you're walking with him through those things. It is impossible to build a faithful family and a faithful home if you're not allowing Christ to do his work in you. It's impossible. So this morning, on your communication card, turn on the back, there's some things here that says, I want the Lord to build my home. If that's you, please check that. I see areas in my life I'm willing to change so the Lord can build a faithful home. And the third one, I've never asked Jesus to come into my life, but I'm asking today for him to come and build a faithful home within me. So if any of those are where you are, would you check that and put that in the offering plate? I want to pray for you. But maybe this morning, there's some decisions you need to make. And the thing is, if you don't decide to implement this in your life, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. You'll keep going the same direction you're going. And this morning, you need to tell the Lord, I'm implementing this, I'm committing myself to build a faithful home, and I'm going to do my part. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for Moses being an example to us. Lord, I am here this morning wanting you and inviting you to build the home. Unless you build the home, we labor in vain. Lord, we've been laboring in vain, many of us. And Lord, we don't want to do that anymore today. We want to labor with you to build your home and give you praise. Glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.